Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Mac Show. I am Jeff Gamet, your interim host for Ewan Rankin. And Ewan, we miss you, and we're looking forward to when you can join us again. And I will keep saying that so that people don't think that we have Ewan tied up and locked away in a closet. Yep, this is just a cover. I mean, Ewan, we miss you. Yeah, we have an awesome panel today, so I'm just going to go around my screen and say hi to everyone, because how could I not? Callum, how are you this morning or afternoon?
I'm very good. It's nearly the end of Friday for me here. It's been another good week. Good week before that as well, because I wasn't on the show last week. So, it's been good.
Wait,
we've been
busy.
Are
you saying your good weeks are when you're not on the show? Is that what I'm hearing?
Saying every week's a good week. Every week's a good week when you work at IMM Max.
Good say. That's dedication.
There you go. Yeah. Chuck's shaking his head.
Well, Cal, it's great to see you. I've been missing seeing you around.
The feeling is mutual.
Patrice, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. It's Friday. It's really nice outside. I just got a delivery of clothes. So, like, what else could go? Like, what else is missing? The Mac Show, right?
So, we have now completed the perfect Friday for you.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Awesome.
I got tea. I got everything I need right now.
Awesome. That's a beautiful thing. Yeah. And Chuck, how are you doing today?
I'm just great. And Cal, I was not, I had a fly on my ear. I was not shaking my head in response to anything you said.
Okay.
just okay. Because your employers watch the show regularly, I'm glad you're not sucking up to them or anything. Sorry, got you, Jeff.
No, you did. We almost had a T in the keyboard incident.
Sorry.
I've always been a big fan of flies. So, yeah. Anyway.
Nope, everything is good here. The hurricane has passed over us, and the flood watches will be up until I think 11 o'clock tonight where I am. So we got away basically unscathed, other than some street flooding, at least in my area. So very, very lucky.
I'm glad to hear it, because some of the footage that I've been seeing, it is insane.
Subways in New York City.
Oh man. Oof. Yeah, New York City is more like New York Lake.
Yeah. Yep. You got to feel sorry for those people, because and unfortunately, that kind of flooding, there's nothing you can do to prevent it or mitigate it, or very little, I should say, you know, short of doing bulldozing, you know, months and years ahead of time to plan for it. And this is just beyond what anybody has planned for.
You know,
especially if it's rainfall. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
it just comes down. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah,
I mean, it's probably they could have improved the situation some, if only they had taken the money that they had been given after the last huge hurricane trashed New York City, because New York was given a bunch of money to beef up their infrastructure for dealing with severe weather like that. And that was years ago, and it hasn't started yet.
Okay.
If only they had years and money, and oh wait, they did.
Yeah.
I heard that like the amount of like rain that came down in New York was about the same as like Chicago in like an entire month.
In an entire month.
Yeah, well, you know, when you get that much water, there's a lot that you can want to do, but that's just too much water.
Yeah. Too much water, not enough space.
Yeah, well, so I think I speak for everybody. Our thoughts go out to everybody from Louisiana the whole way up that, you know, had the damage with the water, the tornadoes, and everything, you know, just we feel for you. Some of us were luckier than you were, and we're sure sorry that you're enduring what you're enduring.
Yes. And for those that keep track of how far a hurricane's impact can reach, just like Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Ida has impacted the weather patterns in Colorado.
Yeah. I mean, wow. Entire world, from what I know, actually the entire world, it does have an effect. Like it's just crazy. It lingers. But it's, I mean, if you think about how far that is from Louisiana all the way up to New York, I mean, and as I said, Colorado and everything in between, that's pretty far.
That's pretty far. Yeah. With Katrina, we actually had rain here. I mean, it wasn't like crazy rain, but it was raining and it was part of Katrina.
Hmm. There was a smaller, storm on the West Coast on the Mexican side, and I heard that it had impact on Arizona. So,
wow,
that's also. I mean, and that was a Category 1, I think. So it wasn't even that big, in quotes.
Wow, wow.
So weather is crazy.
Yes, Dave. I haven't asked you how you're doing today. How are you?
I am doing great. It's Friday, and we here in the U.S. Have a long weekend ahead, which I'm looking forward to.
Wait, we do?
Labor Day weekend, yes.
Oh, okay.
I forgot.
That's right. You're on a weekend every day. I know, Jeff.
Yeah, time is arbitrary. Days of the week matter only in that on Tuesdays, Chuck reminds me it's Tuesday for Mac Voices.
Yep.
And then on Thursday... I get an alarm reminding me about the big show, and then I wake up to an alarm on Fridays reminding me about the Mac show.
Yep.
And other than that, I mean, you know, Chuck, you could push an invite to me for Mac Voices Live and have it on a completely different day, and I probably wouldn't realize. Just the alarm would happen and be like, oh, time to go sit at the computer and talk to Chuck.
So Chuck, that is your next task now? Confuse the hell out of Jeff by just moving the day.
Yeah. It's not going to take much.
Yeah. Yeah.
To get Muller to start sending invites on different days just to read with all of it.
And I'll just be clicking accept. Yeah.
Our next Mac
and then eventually I'll realize what's going on. And,
it'll be a Monday evening for you, and you're the only one sitting there on the live stream.
Yeah, I'll just be there. Hi, it's Jeff, your interim host, sitting in for Ewan. And my life sucks because I'm all alone. Yeah. On a fun note or happy note, money spending note, my cool thing yesterday on the big show. Was this? Oh, my hand's in the way. So this is my new mug.
Oh, that's funny.
And first, it's just a really fun mug. But second, there's actually a thing behind it. So this mug got really popular a few days ago because the trailer for the new Spider-Man movie came out. And there's a scene where Doctor Strange is wearing a coat and carrying a mug and talking with Peter. And this is the mug that he's carrying, the For Fox Sake mug.
The only problem with that mug, it's too small.
It is kind of small. Yeah, this is smaller than the mug I usually use. But, you know, it's For Fox Sake. How can I not use it?
The best.
Yeah. And only $11 on Amazon.
That's quite cheap.
It is. Ironically, I think 2 weeks ago, it would have cost you $6 on Amazon. But then the trailer came out and the company that makes this, they're like, we suddenly need to charge more for this mug.
Yeah.
So they raised the price, but it's still a very reasonable price.
And so now that's been shown on the Mac show, the price will probably get down to like $2.
I thought you would say it would
be giving them away. So.
Yeah,
like $30.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll pay you to take one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Another product destroyed by my enthusiasm. And Muller wants to know where the fox hat is. And is that a UK reference that I should get? Because
yeah, doesn't think
well,
so.
It's, I'm it's assuming not, it's supposed it's not to a be reference, funny. But yeah.
I mean, you're not going to explain it to me, are you?
If you say it quickly and then you wonder where something is, it makes perfect sense.
Where's the fox? Oh, apparently I need to drink a little more of my tea. And
I can see who's got it and who hasn't.
It was probably epic watching the little gears in my head turn until I picked that up. Ah, bless my heart. Okay.
Muller, it feels like Muller pulls the strings behind the scenes here an awful lot of the time.
Well, you know how Ewan's in charge, and it's very clear Ewan's in charge. I have come to believe that Muller is actually the puppet master behind the scenes. Yeah, and the more you think about it, the more it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and now I'm kind of scared.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Okay, we should talk about Apple news since that's why we're here. And in the chat room, Muller says, do my bidding, minions.
I mean, in fairness, he sends an invite and we're all here, so.
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
Oh, we do the bidding, our yeah. Muller overlord.
Yep.
Would that be a Muller lord? Okay.
That news. Like a slumlord?
It's like Apple a slumlord, but with brushed teeth? I'm not sure. Okay.
How did we end up here?
This week, Apple was kind enough to give us news.
You all accepted the invite from September, Muller. That's how you got here.
Right. By the way, what day is this? Which show are we doing?
Make sure.
I don't know. Okay.
I guess it's
news
Friday.
Story. All right. So our first news story today. I found this one on a 9to5Mac, and I want to point out that typically the way the morning starts for me on Fridays is I get up, stumble around for a little bit, take a shower. Make a cup of tea, and while the tea is brewing, I start up everything for the show. And then I worry about what are we going to talk about, which means that quite often, I just look in my email after Dave sends me a message saying, hey, I've got a bunch of stuff for you. So first, Dave, thank you.
I'm getting used to it. You're welcome.
thank you for doing the work for me. And
I'm always planning for you.
You're the best. But second, today, I actually found one of the stories without having to rely on Dave. I'm kind of proud of myself for that. Actually.
Good. I am proud of you.
And a little bit surprised. So anyhow, yeah, that was a great story. Now we'll go on to the next one. No, wait. Okay. So the story is Apple's on device scanning of photos for pictures we shouldn't be taking, that feature there, they decided to put it on hold.
Yeah, not surprised there. I mean, after all the discussions and all the controversy and all the people, like all the like ACLU and everybody coming out against it, that's a typical Apple move. Like once it gets, like usually once it gets enough pushback, they're like, oh, okay, let's step back and revisit the topic. That's what they did with the Facebook with the marketing thing. Like that took almost a year to roll out ultimately.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. But this one, my guess is that if Apple actually does roll out this feature, by the time it rolls out, it will be significantly changed from what it is right now.
Yeah.
And that's a big if. I mean, at this point, I have a feeling that Apple may decide to just kill the feature. Excuse me. But at the same time, I feel like Apple was creating this feature as a proactive measure to try and stave off government regulations that would force Apple to open up more of the data to government surveillance.
They're collecting feedback from customers. They say collecting the input. Okay. I mean, you knew this was going to happen because there was so much pushback when it first was announced, and all these security experts are up in arms about this and going crazy. And well, now they realize, you know, we do need to reevaluate this. Even when Craig Federighi comes out and talks to Joanna Stern, that's like, a lot of people misunderstood this. Well, apparently, they misunderstood enough that Apple's realizing, maybe we need to take a step back.
If that many of us misunderstood, then that's on Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hence why we're talking about this.
Yeah. I mean, it was hard to understand it right in this case, I would say.
No, I'm pretty sure we understood it right. We just didn't understand it the way Apple wanted us to.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Well, but you're understanding it wrong.
Well played.
That should have been the title of that video.
Oh. We may have our show title now.
Yep. You're understanding it wrong.
Yes.
Yeah. But look, to be fair, the problem still exists. And I know there was one article, back weeks ago, I remember, that basically that said the iPhone was the pedophile's phone of choice because of the security. That's not the endorsement you want, but it's a positive kind of endorsement in that, if it's that secure and that private, I mean, that's what we're all talking about. That's what we all want, right? So, this is an endorsement of the capability of the privacy. Yeah. I also think that there's nobody on this panel or anywhere that would disagree that something, needs to be done to try to curb this child sexual oriented material. No doubt about that. And the third thing, I guess there are three points to this. The third thing is, I read at least a couple articles that were frankly beyond me technically, that pointed out, there were technical flaws in this. So I have to wonder if we will see this come back with, with the screws tightened down a little bit, or, something turned a little bit to the left or whatever, so that it still has the privacy, but it still may function this way. And then let's not forget the fact that, there is photo scanning being done already on servers for Microsoft and Google. So whether Apple will implement that as a way to at least come to parity with it, and then we'll have a whole nother round of discussions about the security issues.
Yeah. I mean, there were kind of three very good reasons, or I have three theories kind of why Apple is doing that. And they're probably all at the same time right and wrong a little bit. I mean, for one, as you said, Chuck, Facebook, Microsoft, Google, like all the other big players are doing it. So it kind of made Apple look pretty bad that they weren't doing any, at least not publicly. I mean, I think I heard that they have shared a little bit from iCloud here and there, but it was like one, not public, and two, it was like very, very minimal. So I think that's one big part why they did it. The other thing is, I don't know, but I think Jeff, you're right. Like Apple probably used this a little bit as a bargaining chip with some government agencies. I mean, I can't imagine that like the FBI and all the other three-letter agencies in the US aren't pushing on Apple to do something. And this is kind of a concession to say, okay, yes, we're going to implement something, so you get some like benefit out of it basically, but we're still locking everything else down. So you get the child pornography people, and we're like everything else is locked down. Because that takes away a big argument for introducing any kind of backdoor.
Mm-hmm.
Like because that's, you know, that's from a political perspective, that's the perfect thing to say. I mean, it's either terrorism or it's child pornography. Like those are usually the two things. So
yes,
it kind of makes sense. And I think the third one is, I have a feeling, at least, I mean, within Apple, there's probably a majority of people who also wanted to do something. Like, just because it is a bad thing.
Sure. And it's not like Apple doesn't already scan your photos. Apple's been doing on-device photo scanning for years. But people have generally been totally cool with that because it is framed as a way to automatically organize images for us, yeah. Or to let us do searches for specific types of images right in the Photos app.
Yeah, and it never leaves the device, right?
Right, and it never leaves the device.
Yeah.
Right, but the scanning is already there. And I could totally see a U.S. government agency or agencies from other countries mm-hmm. coming to Apple saying, look, you know, this thing right here that you're already doing, we want you to do it for us now.
Mm-hmm.
And, sure. Yeah. And this would be a very Apple way to make that concession. But it's still backfiring.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I'm not excluding any agency in the world. Anybody in that business probably wants Apple to do this for them.
Of course they do.
It's the perfect tool to gather information.
Right. Yes. It's wonderfully perfect because as a government agency, you don't have to make an investment to get the reward. You have your population paying for the hardware and software. You have companies creating the software and the search algorithms. And all you have to do is sit back and wait for the data to roll in.
Yeah, yeah. And I totally understand why they would want to. I mean, it's always a balance. So I get that.
Mm-hmm. And if you want a little perspective on it, this is not a cool things pick, but check out the current episode of Darknet Diaries, where they talk about Pegasus and the company that produces it. And you suddenly get a look into just how many countries are using some kind of spyware spyware for their, you know, for their purposes. And then you start maybe to get an appreciation for why this is a concern for this to happen on Apple devices as widespread as they are.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's more that this is something that is built in. I mean, Pegasus and all the others are things that are on top, that are put in through various means. But it's not that you buy a device and it comes with it. At least not as far as we know, and I'm guessing not at least in the Western world. Might be different in China, like, I don't know, but at least not here.
Mm-hmm. Everything's just from China.
might be. I mean, we don't know, but we're assuming.
Yeah, that's not to say that the technology is bad. It's the use.
Mm-hmm.
The use it could be put to in the case of CSAM would be very positive. There's some other uses that would be definitely detrimental. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those, you know, okay, guns don't kill people, or guns don't kill people, people kill people. You know, the gun is the gun. It's there. It can be a very useful tool, or it can be misused.
And I mean, we don't have to go all that far. I mean, for me at least, like any kind of Nazi like imagery is illegal in Germany. And I could totally see the German government saying, like, Apple, put that in your list. It is illegal here. If someone has that is totally illegal. I could totally understand it. And given the history of Germany, like, it kind of makes sense. But that's exactly where that leads to. And then the next comes. And that's the problem.
Right. Right. Everybody's got a good reason.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. So before we move on, when Apple announced this feature, how did all of you feel about it? And I know we've discussed this before, but it's been long enough ago at this point that it would just be nice to kind of have that as part of this as well. And I'm totally fine starting by saying I could understand where Apple was going with this, but I was also concerned about how our privacy could be abused through the feature. Not by Apple, but by other actors, government agencies.
I think, I initially when I saw it, I thought it would be a positive thing, but I think then you have to think about where it can go to and the extent of it. I think personally, if I was going to trust anyone with my privacy, it would be Apple, which is a really nice place to be with someone like that. Mm-hmm. However, they can only do so much to a certain point, and it's kind of like they're opening the door ajar, and then how many people are going to start to wedge it open and open the floodgate eventually. So I'm still a bit on the fence about it. I'd like to see something done, and I think Apple going back to the drawing board and changing it's probably a good thing, and I'll be interested to see what they come back with and in what form. But I'm still sort of relatively on the fence with it.
I was all for it too, for the most part. But yeah, I'm a little concerned about the privacy part. Could it get abused? Could Apple be mandated by the government to say, hey, you've got to do this, and go around what the whole reasoning of it was. So a little on the fence with it. But yeah, like Callum said, I'm interested to see where Apple goes with the refinements after they've got all this pushback and feedback from everybody out there. I hope they're bringing it back to the drawing board and rethinking it.
And I guess I'll echo the same thing. You know, I looked at it, and initially it's absolutely, this is a great thing. And then you learn a little bit more about how it was being done and the implications. And the more you learn, the more that you could understand how it could be abused.
For me, it was, I mean, I was ambiguous, like, from the first minute, because one of the first thoughts for me was how it could be abused. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was excited about the idea behind it, but I also had quite a few technical questions about it. And yeah, as we've seen, those have persisted.
All right. So next story, Apple is buying a classical music streaming service. And I picked this story specifically because I have complained in the past about discoverability on Apple Music. And and I did find it kind of fascinating that Apple decided that, at least it looks to me like their way to address part of this was just to buy a company that was doing this for classical music specifically.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Apple needed a catalog. I'm pretty sure that they didn't need the talent. I mean, Apple has been in the music business for a very, very, very long time. So this was probably an acquisition because they wanted some technology or some people that have some experience with something.
Well,
the knowledge and the interface. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They get the interface. The technology that they get is a much better system for organizing, finding, and sorting classical pieces. One of the problems that I have had listening to classical music on Apple Music or any of the other popular streaming music services is that it doesn't fit in with the way you organize and view the information about pop music or country music or whatever the music style is that's not classical. So oftentimes you'd want to listen to like an entire movement from some classical piece, and that's actually several elements, or in this case it would be several tracks, and you couldn't easily do that or if you wanted to look for the or look at the information about what is currently playing, you might be able to see who made the recording, and you might see part of the name of the piece, but you won't see. Mahler, do you want to go wait in the car? Oh my God. Oh, the chat room. Anyhow, but you wouldn't see who the original composer was, and you couldn't see the full name of the piece. Mm-hmm. So having a system that fixes that is important. Mueller, along with his comment about my movements, this is Apple One of the content. And in this case, mm-hmm. Mueller, I think you're actually wrong. Apple has the content. Mueller, what wrong. They didn't have was the way to present it to us.
I don't even think the interface was all of that interesting, because Apple can look at an interface and create their own version of it. They want the people that have that thought up the interface, the thinking, the creators of that interface, because they can take that idea and adapt it to something that Apple needs.
Yes.
Well it's interesting to see.
It's all you.
Yeah, I was just going to. I'm sorry. It was a good point, because I think classical music always had I'm not a big clock. I don't listen to classical music. Probably very rarely. If I do, it might be, mm-hmm. I might be interested here and there. But I know there's lots of classical music lovers out here in the Chicago area. There's a very big radio station that's done classical music for probably 50, 60 years, and it's still popular to this day. But you know, that's not my crowd. But I think what Apple wanted to do is, now that they can get hold of this company, didn't cost them a lot of money to do it, and now they can bring in and get you these people who are classical music lovers will finally be able to find the music they want, but have Apple's music as a backup, as a back end to it. Because you see in the article, they're shutting it down pretty much right away, and on September 7th, and then, oh goody, they're giving them 6 months free of Apple Music access. I just hear in my ears that those classical music lovers are like, why the heck do I want to be on Apple Music, because I can't even find all the music that I want, because this was so great. So, but since they are going to introduce a separate app for it, which I think makes sense, because that, you know, that's a niche market, and they want these people to be able to have access to get access to classical music very easily. I think this was a good move.
Yeah, and yes, yeah. I mean, Apple can bring like massive benefits to it, because I mean, they have the technical chops on the back end, they have the connections, they have basically everything, but a good interface for it. So,
yeah, and I think David hit it on the head. Apple suddenly just became the go-to place for classical music streaming. And I know it didn't hit the button and start it today, but you know, this is going to guarantee that now all the people out there that have been, and frankly, complaining about the classical music access, now will no longer have anything to complain about once it's fully rolled in and implemented. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I have never heard any news about Spotify, Amazon, who else, YouTube Music, Google Music, any of the others doing anything in regard to classical music. And now Apple has done this, and they just grabbed that piece of the market, and I bet they're going to hold on tight to it. Yeah.
And don't forget, Apple has high bitrate streaming and has spatial audio, which I'm betting for classical music is awesome.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes, I actually do listen to a lot of classical, and the higher quality that Apple has been pumping out, holy crap, it's amazing. Just listening to pieces that you know very well, like what I like to call the pop music of classical, you know, the pieces everyone knows. And listening to those in high-res audio, spatial, it's just amazing, because it takes you from being somewhere where you're listening to a very nice recording of the music to feeling like you're in the middle of it, and you hear so much more, which is wonderful, because when you have an orchestra that you're recording, And then you're trying to reproduce that on little headphones or, you know, your laptop speakers, whatever. There's so many things that you can miss. Like you could have a 50-piece orchestra, but there's only one person playing a specific instrument, and that can get lost in a lot of recordings. And that comes back out with the Apple Hi-Res Classical. It's really nice.
Well, people might disagree with me on this, but I think this is an exciting time for music in general because of all the choices for streaming music. You didn't have these options. I think back 30 years ago when we were all listening to cassettes, and 40 years ago, vinyl, and then CDs come along, and you know, we never had this option. And you know, when everybody was back in the old days, we could say that now they're pirating music on Napster, and the music industry really has taken all the streaming services to heart here because they're really doing well with it. And I think it's going to continue. I mean, YouTube just announced that 50 million subscribers for the YouTube Music. So, I mean, there's a lot of streaming interest out there.
Yeah, for the entire premium thing, but yeah.
And not that I say I don't listen to once in a while. I'll pull out a vinyl record. And I mean, yeah, you definitely get a great experience listening to a music on vinyl. No question about it. So, I mean, I happen to be listening to a pod. Oh, go ahead.
No, I mean, the thing is, it's access. Like, I mean, I grew up in the CD era mostly. I mean, I still had cassettes, but it was mostly CDs.
Yeah.
But I mean, you could only buy and own like as many CDs. And there were like, for some bands or some artists, so many different versions, like live versions from here and there and like whatever. And it was hard to get like to have them. And especially for artists that were around for a long time, it was hard to get some of the older stuff. And now you can just go on Apple Music and listen to a live recording from, 1950 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's there. And that makes it, so much easier and so much better.
Well, and to bring the Apple aspect into this too, Apple kind of created the model for this. The technology has finally caught up. So, and the music industry itself has finally caught up to some degree. There's still some holdouts that, you know, things that you can't get, which, you know, you want to go and slap somebody for. But at the end of the day, you can access pretty much everything. And now we have that high bitrate streaming because we now have the hardware and the infrastructure to do it. Okay. So now by paying, you know, a monthly fee that was probably is a whole lot less than my weekly or monthly CD budget would have been, I can have access to all kinds of things that I would love to, I might've seen in the store and say, you know, that looks interesting. Yeah, but I can't really plunk down that much money for it. Now I search for it. I hit the button. I decide I love it or I don't like it and move on. But, you know, and I know we could turn this into a whole other discussion about the music industry, and I don't want to go there. But the bottom line is for the consumer, man, it's if you're not subscribing to something that's giving you the high res stream bit streaming, then you're really missing out.
Yeah. I mean, you said it, something that you probably wouldn't have bought because it was like you might have been curious about it, but you weren't like it wasn't something you were sure you would keep. And then like, what do you do with a CD or whatever you bought? So you didn't buy it. And now you can just listen to it once. And if you like it, you keep it or keep it around. And if not, listen to it once, done. No harm.
When music subscription really took off, I was initially very resistant because the idea of not owning my music, and yes, I totally get you never own your music, but having physical media in my possession, the idea of not having that really bothered me because I was concerned about what happened if the music went away and then I just don't have it anymore. But over time, I realized, wait a second, for less than I'm paying every month for physical CDs, I can have access to more music than I can ever listen to. And that changed everything. Now I am very excited about Apple owning a company that actually makes classical music really accessible.
And I mean, when you say like owning something and being afraid of it going away, I mean, probably a little bit of a generational thing. But for me, it wasn't a problem because I realized if it goes away on one server, there's always another guy somewhere out there who's gonna provide it. Like another service is gonna pick that up in an instant because there is need for it.
But so, Patrice, that's the one thing though that I think that the music industry and Apple and Google and everybody else has done right is that it's very, very seldom. It happens, but it's not very often that you see something disappear from one of these services, mm-hmm. unlike Netflix or some of the others where it's there for a month or two and then it's gone. Because I one thing that would turn me off and would send me right back to buying music would be if I create a playlist of 25 songs, and then all of a sudden I wake up one day and I hit that playlist and 10 of them are no longer available.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm really ticked because I've taken the time and the effort to curate that perfect playlist for this situation, and now all of a sudden it's gone, and that would kill the whole thing right away.
Absolutely.
Yep. Seems like that's gotten better though. I mean, I think a lot of artists are finally just realizing, let's leave it on our streaming services because streaming services are more used and not, you aren't seeing as many people buying digital songs anymore as they are using streaming services.
I think a big turning point in artists really supporting having their content on as many streaming services as they could get was when Prince's Library finally became available. And even more so than when the Beatles Library was finally available. Because Prince, first there was nothing streaming, then it was locked to Tidal. And,
and then it was Spotify.
Yeah. But once that was everywhere, it was like all of a sudden we saw a lot of other artists that had been holding out, changing their minds and making that move. In the chat, I'm looking at like what Bob Beach is saying. He has all of Joni Mitchell's albums, all of Led Zeppelin, all of Frank Zappa, and it's amazing. And yes, of course, it's amazing. That's so cool. and I do miss the days when you'd get together with friends and you'd all bring a bunch of albums and you'd sit down and you just have like an album listening party.
And grab some 45s or your singles.
Yeah, right. And
but the
fascinating
thing. I can't take those on the train. See, this is where I'm a bit lost in this because it's
for your time.
That's a big thing to carry around to listen to some songs.
Yeah, or in your car.
That wouldn't happen back in those days.
So, Cal, part of the enjoyment of doing that, like you have a bunch of LPs that you take with you over to your friend's house. You're listening to this music. And the cover that the LP comes in
liner notes
was part of the experience because you'd have the liner notes and you'd have the photographs and all this other stuff. So while you're listening to the music, you're also experiencing the album art. And in some cases, that was the intent of the artist, where they really wanted you to listen and look and feel at the same time.
And to Bob Beach's point, yes, he's got all the Joni Mitchells, all the Hendrix, all the Zappas. If he wants all of the Alice Coopers, it's a click away. He can go and add that to his collection right now. And that's the power of it, I think. Right. If Jeff turns me on to a new band and I decide I like it, I can not only have that track, I can not only have that album, I can have their library accessible to me instantly.
Yeah. I mean,
I love that.
That's one of the coolest things at Apple Music. You can go in and say, I don't know, I like everything Hans Zimmer, like all the like cool stuff he's done. And I go to his artist page and there's everything I want. I can like for hours listen to that, just that.
Muller, you having a signed Steve Gibbons band album, that's actually really cool. Yeah,
on a track.
You have an 8-track in your car?
A signed 8-track?
In your car?
Someone somewhere has a signed Steve Gibbons 8-track. And I want to see a photo of that.
I do too.
Oh, okay. One more story for today. And this one I found over at, no, I didn't find, sorry, Dave, this is one you found over at Apple Insider. Apple Wallet won't replace your physical ID anytime soon. And I thought this would be interesting to talk about because a lot of people are looking at what Apple's doing, thinking this now is my driver's license. And my feeling is this is not, and not Apple's fault, but this is straight up a hot mess.
I mean, what did we expect? Governments getting involved, like state and like local and everything. Yeah, it's and a lot of agencies. Yeah,
but U.S. states are just not equipped for this. I mean,
no. I mean, not yet. But I believe that. I mean, just like basically, like contactless payments are replacing physical, like credit cards and so on. I believe that it might take 50 years, but eventually it's going to replace it.
I agree. Eventually it's going to replace it, but it's not happening anytime soon.
No, it's not this year or next year.
Look how long it took in the U.S. for a real ID. There's still states that haven't complied with the TSA requiring that you have a real ID or you have to use your passport to get on a plane. It was quite a fiasco here in Illinois. I mean, I got it finally. But it took them like an extra 3 or 4 years before they were even ready and equipped to be able to start doing it and be in compliance with what the government wanted. So, and this is going to be just as bad. I mean, I think only like maybe 5 or 6 states when this is released is going to going to be ready to go here in the U.S. I'm not sure in the UK.
Two states initially. And then I think there's like 4 others that will be adding it.
I saw Arizona was part of it.
Yeah, Arizona is one of the first states.
That was surprising.
I think it's like Arizona and Alabama or something like that.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And then in the next wave, you get Utah and actually, I can't remember what the others are, but it was a very interesting mix of states.
Yeah, not the states you would have suspected. Like I would have guessed California, Oregon, like the more New York, maybe like the more, like say tech hubs. Well, not Texas. But.
Okay, so one problem, one of many problems that I see with this is coming from my perspective as someone who lives in a state that has a digital ID program. And it is a dumpster fire. I mean, first, well, let's discount the app, which is straight up garbage, absolute garbage. The concept is great because you never have to physically hand an ID or your phone to a law enforcement officer. Mm-hmm. What you do is present a barcode to them and that's it. And then their little camera that they're supposed to be wearing can scan the barcode. And then your ID information is now on the terminal in their car. But the problem is that saying this is available and I have it on my phone so I can use it, there's no place I can use it. There are literally 5 law enforcement agencies in Colorado that will actually use this. So even though we have this statewide digital ID thing, I can go to Denver, Vail. I forgot what the other 2 cities are, but then also Colorado State Patrol. And that's it. So I have this and it's basically worthless. I can't present this at a security checkpoint at an airport. It will not be accepted. And
at that point, it's useless.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I think that's the cool thing about Apple's solution. I mean, one, it's not Apple's solution. They're actually building on top of a ISO standard. So they're trying to be as standard as possible. But I think it's also the power of Apple and the power of us basically, of the people who like and buy Apple, to push that. Still, it's gonna take forever because I mean, even if a state, as you said, even if a state introduces it, like how long does it take until, I don't know, the liquor store at the corner is like can deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
Like, not even law enforcement. Liquor stores. Like, how does that work?
I should be able to go into a liquor store, any liquor store in Colorado, or any legal marijuana shop in Colorado, and present my digital ID. But in those cases, I actually have to open the app and show them the image of my digital ID. And
great.
Yeah. And then to prove that it's not a forgery, mm-hmm. then you actually put your finger on the screen and move it back and forth. And it does this sort of 3D movement thing. And you know, so at that point, I feel like there's absolutely no security in this because now there's me showing someone this image of my ID and they get to put their fingers on the screen on my phone. No, not going to happen.
Yeah. I saw how well like digital services like that worked here in Europe when they rolled out the, it's called the green, what's it called? The green pass or something. It's a COVID certificate thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a QR code on it that you're supposed to be able, like there's a web app that you can use to scan it and it shows you the information that's encoded in it. And then you can verify that that person has access to the restaurant or is vaccinated or whatever. You know how many people I've seen that actually scanned that?
Probably none.
At restaurants or whatever? Zero.
Yeah.
Most of them barely even look at it, even though they're supposed to check it, or they will want the actual PDF and read it.
Okay, so. But the thing, so let's think about for a second what Apple built for COVID-19 and how it was not adopted.
Yeah.
You know, and it, you know, could that have made a difference in the pandemic? Could it be making a difference now? That's for somebody else to say. But the one thing I know is it never even had a chance if it wasn't adopted. But also to take this to another thing that we have seen, and that's touchless payments. Mm-hmm. With Apple Pay, but with others. And I don't mind calling out, there are two chains that fascinate me. Panera Bread right now, at least in my area, I still can't use touchless. I still have to swipe my card, okay? And Cracker Barrel only recently, and I mean like really just only recently, got to that point.
When did Walmart introduce it? Like that has been recent as well.
It has. And it blows me away that because there were laws, there were financial reasons for them to invest in the technology. In those two cases, and they opted, well, no, we're not going to get around to it. We can't get around to it. We'll get around to it whenever. And I'm shocked and appalled at that because I felt like not only are they taking certain risks, and by the way, my credit card just got hacked this week. And so, you know, now, and I'm not going to say where I used it online or otherwise, because I don't want to point any fingers, but you have to go back and say, when did it get hacked? And I've got a pretty good idea of what day it got hacked. I know where I was that day. So that kind of drops the number of suspects, at least in my mind, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm not sure.
Or grocery store.
Well, yeah, but you know, now I don't want to go back to those places because I don't want to buy $600 worth of Disney World tickets for somebody, which is what flagged mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, you look at this and say, why aren't you doing everything you can to protect me? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, well, it's because your privacy, your credit card security as a customer is of no value to the retailer. The money they're getting from you means more to them than you as an ongoing customer.
Yeah. Guess what? I mean, they're not going to be getting my money again because I'm going across the street.
Yeah.
I'll tell people like you, come with me across the street because I can't trust them.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how the credit card industry pushed the adoption of like newer technologies because they changed the rules about who's reliable, who's responsible for fraud. Like, it's not the credit card companies who has to detect fraud and pays for it. It's ultimately the vendor if they're using insecure methods.
Mm-hmm.
And then that pushed the adoption of, I mean, in the US, chip and PIN and contact.
Except the gas stations.
The gas stations are starting to adapt the the chip technology. I use them.
Yes. Yeah, I know in Arizona.
Sorry, I'm trying not to laugh as someone lurking behind the Callum there.
He's getting murdered.
Yeah. All right.
Be very quiet.
So I'm going to move us on because we need to talk about sponsors. Mm-hmm. So that was my very subtle transition into. So all these shows on British Tech Network are sponsored by TSO hosts. And we love TSO hosts because, well, they're here for us. They're providing us the bandwidth we need so that we can stream content like this, so that we can have Bob Beach saying in the chat room that Dave got so bored with the conversation that he put on different headphones to listen to music. And I did point out that clearly Dave is listening to classical right now. So TSO hosts, they give us the bandwidth so we can live stream our shows. They also give us the server space we need so that we can make all the recordings for the shows, both video and audio, available to you so that you can watch or listen at your leisure, which is absolutely awesome. Without TSO hosts, we literally would not be here at all. There's just no way we could make this happen without their support. So we love them, and we need you to give them some public love. I'm all about public display of affection, or PDA. And so in this case, at least. So what that means is you need to take your favorite social media network and give them a shout out and let TSO hosts know that you really appreciate that they're here for British Tech Network. And that's great. That'll make them feel good. And since you're going to be doing something nice as well, hey, that's a nice little good feeling for you too. But the important thing is they need to know that we appreciate that they're here for us. You can also get your domain names or hosting from them if you want, and use the discount code BTN20 to get a discount on the services. So thank you to TSO Host for being here for us. Also, Imend Max is here for us as a sponsor, which is absolutely awesome because they're the place that you go when you went to get your Apple gear fixed and you want to have it fixed correctly and responsibly. So here's a scenario that someday is going to happen. I will fly over to the UK and I will find Callum and I will hand him my iPad mini and probably at that point my 10-inch iPad Pro. And I will say, I need new batteries, please. And then he will replace those for me and we'll live stream it because we can. And it'll be great because I know that the competent people will be cracking open my Apple gear. And I know that that the waste that comes back out, the stuff that's going to get thrown away, is handled responsibly. And if I had a problem, say with my iPhone or my MacBook Pro, like let's say one of my USB ports died. Well, then instead of swapping out the entire logic board, Callum will replace the components that have failed, which means less waste going into landfills. Totally awesome. And they have gear you can buy or lease and have deals. So Cal, do you have any deals for us this week?
So we've got quite a few 21.5-inch iMacs in at the moment. So they're 2015 models. We've got about 8 or 10 of those at the moment. So quite a few, all with varying different specs, some with SSD, some with standard drives, but all with 6 months warranty and all with 5% off if you mention BTN before you check out as well. So if you head over to our website, imnmax.com, click on the store, everything is up on there, and Buy it and you can get your 5% off as well.
Awesome. So, Cal, one of these days, we're going to get to hang out in person and you're going to fix my gear for me.
Mm-hmm. And, we're going to listen to some LPs and look at some paintings on the wall, whatever they are. And then it's going to be fantastic.
Yes, take your 8-track. Take your 8-track with you just for Cal.
Yes.
I'll bring my old reel-to-reel.
Oh, yeah, bring the reel-to-reel. It'll be epic.
I'll bring the iPad batteries.
Yeah, this is going to be the best party ever. Yeah. Hey, one other thing before we move on to our picks this week. The Daily News Show, it really needs your help. We are basically out of money for that. When I say basically out of money, that's my nice way of saying, people, there's no more money for the show. So if we don't get more money for the Daily News Show, then this is the last month. So after 13 years, at the end of September, the show will end and that will be it and it will be gone. Yeah. And it is an absolutely wonderful daily tech news show. And we need to keep this thing going because it's just a really great show. There's 6,000 people that listen to the show every single day. Mm-hmm. And if we could get $1 from every listener, that is more than enough to keep the show going for forever. So what we need is money. So head over to the BTN website, click that link where you can give some money to keep the show on the air. And if you know people that are tuning into the show, remind them to, so that they can toss whatever they can afford, even if it's just a dollar or a pound or a euro, whatever. send some money for the show because we really need to keep this on the air. And
if you haven't listened to it, if you haven't listened to it yet, do that. I mean, Kyle, every weekday, he's located in the Philippines. So very convenient for at least the European audience, because while we're asleep and basically all the news has wrapped up in the US, he prepares the show and records it and uploads it and gets it ready. And then basically when you get up in the morning, or while you're commuting, it comes out and you can listen to it. And it's, as I said, it's a really, really great show. And I mean, it's a lot of work and we pay him a little bit for it. I mean, honestly, not as much as we should probably, but yeah, $250 is all we can afford. And as you can see, we can't even afford that.
Right. So yeah, we need money, people.
Yeah. And I want to chime in too. I mean, think about that just for a second. Daily tech news. So that means that Kyle, every single day, takes a piece of his day out, organizes that news, decides what's important, and then delivers it to you so you can listen to it. For those of us that create content, we know the amount of time that kind of thing takes. And Kyle, frankly, probably takes more time than we do because he's going through all that, trying to curate it and decide what you need to know about. So please, if you value this at all, you know, get some support. Don't think somebody else is going to do it and you'll do it next time. Be the one that does it right now.
So based on the way I'm talking, based on the way Chuck is talking, you can tell we both listen to public radio in the United States because we sound like we're doing the public radio donation drive pitch. Yep. Yep. So anyhow, money. Go to the website, click the button and give some money. And thank you for doing your part to help keep the Daily News Show on the air. And we always have a lively discussion going on during the show with everyone that is tuning in. Patrice, where can people find that?
Well, if they're listening right now or they're watching, or they want to watch live while we record, which is every Friday at 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, and every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time, I think, for the big show. Then you can head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and join the live chat and talk to us live. But if you're listening to this after the fact, because yeah, you had to work or you were busy, which happens, it's fine. You can still see everything that we talked about and all the links and cool things and whatever. And in order to find that, you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then navigate to the 3rd of September, 2021. And there you will find all the links and in a few minutes, also the cool things.
Awesome. Thank you. And speaking of cool things, Cal, what do you have for us?
So my cool thing this week, I think it's one that's been covered a couple of times, but I just want to say it again, really. Go and get a VPN. I've actually just switched mine to ExpressVPN, which I'm very, very pleased with. They do a really good job for a really reasonable price. If you don't have one, it's an extremely useful tool for all sorts of different things. I must say, switching to ExpressVPN from IPVanish, which was the one I was with, really worthwhile change. Isn't that much more expensive, and it's really good. So if you want a VPN, that's the one I'd pick, definitely.
Awesome. All right, Patrice, and what do you have?
So my cool thing is a little Safari extension that I was looking for. I'm pretty sure this exists for other browsers as well. So I have the problem, especially at work, that I have a million tabs open and quite a few of them use quite a lot of RAM. And I need them frequently. Like, I have massive Google Sheets open with like statistics and reports and whatever that I'm checking, I don't know, once a day, twice a day, three times a day. And I don't want to open them all the time. So they're constantly open. And like whenever I have time, I'll glance at them. The problem is that eats up a lot of RAM. And if you have only 16 gigabytes or 8 on the smaller M1 machines, for example, that adds up, like if one sheet has uses a gigabyte of RAM. So I was looking for a solution. I was thinking, I mean, there must be a way to suspend a tab without it disappearing. And I found a plugin, and it's free. And it's called Tab Suspender. It's free. They have a premium kind of a like free with in-app purchase, there's a premium version, which it's basically donationware. You can give like, I think a dollar at minimum. They call it for dog treats, I'm guessing. but it only adds some nice to have extra features. It's not something you have to buy. You can use the free version and it works absolutely flawless. And it suspends your tab, and when you need it, you just like click a button and it loads it again. So the tab is there, but it just shows this is a suspended thing. And you can set it up to auto-suspend after a while. Let's say, if I haven't used this tab in 60 minutes, just suspend it. And my Mac works so much better. I mean, even though I'm using Safari, which is awesome when it comes to RAM management, it's still a problem.
Cool. Okay, that's awesome. All right, Chuck, and what do you have today?
Well, the first thing, I will apologize if you hear the lawnmower running outside, because it's right outside my door. So that's my first gift to you. The last couple of weeks, I've been picking audiobooks, and a couple of them have been audiobooks that I purchased a while back on CD. And so if you have some of those, or if you have audiobooks that in your library that maybe have chapters and all that, and you would like to manage them a little better, I'm going to tell you to go and get Audiobook Builder. From Splasm Software. This is a terrific little utility that can take those files and do pretty much anything you want with them. You can do chapters, you can combine them into one big audio file that you can then load on your phone and play. And frankly, I find that a lot more convenient from a management standpoint. If I just say that I want to read, God help me, War and Peace, I want that in one audio file, not, you know, 75 separate files. So I have to figure out which ones I've listened to and where it is. It's all in one audio file. It's fast, it's simple, it's really intuitive, and it's super useful. One thing I do with it is I'm talking about combining those files. I like to combine any audiobook files into one file and then upload it to Overcast so I can take advantage of their speed algorithms and the dropping out of the silences to help me read the book faster. And that's completely separate from Audiobook Builder, but this will get you partway there. And if you don't want to take that extra step, fine. It just makes it more convenient. Very cheap, very easy. I think you'll like it.
Nice. Cool. Okay. And Dave, what do you have?
Yeah, I got another show this week. Let me paste this in the chat here. I just watched this yesterday. You know, it's coming up 20 years ago on September 11th, 2001. It's probably one of the most devastating days in world history, really. This was a really great documentary that Apple TV Plus put together. It's called 9/11 Inside the President's War Room. Recounts the timeline from the U.S. presidency, the immediate hours after the events that happened. A lot of things you didn't know about. I thought it was really well done. And actually, President Bush, as well as the Vice President Cheney and others, actually give firsthand accounts in the show, which is awesome. You don't get to see that firsthand real quickly. So it's on Apple TV Plus in the United States, and it's also in the BBC iPlayer in the UK. So you can watch them in both places. It's narrated by Jeff Daniels, who's an Emmy Award winner. And it requests, like I said, the 12 hours after the attacks, and giving you some much in-depth of what the president was doing during all that time. So it was a great show.
Awesome. I actually watched that yesterday.
Me too.
It was really, really good, and really, really well done, really well put together, and the people they got on there. It had absolutely everyone on there, so really, really well put together.
Cool. Okay, and my cool thing, which I think I've actually picked in the past, is Affinity Photo. Adobe Photoshop, of course, is an excellent application, and it's part of Creative Suite. But if you, for whatever reason, can't use Photoshop, you don't want the Creative Cloud subscription plan, you can't afford it, whatever, Affinity Photo is awesome because it gives you most everything you can do in Photoshop in an application that is a perpetual license model. So you pay once and then you're set. And they all, so the link that I shared today in our chat is just the Affinity Photo webpage in general. So I'm not specifying Mac or iPad version because they're basically the same, which is great. So I can start working on a graphic in Affinity Photo on my Mac, but then just hop over to my iPad and start working on it there, go the other direction, hop back and forth, it doesn't matter. And I have been using the Affinity Suite, Photo Designer and Publisher, for a few years now instead of Creative Suite. And it's just been absolutely great. So Affinity Photo, absolutely awesome. Mac or iPad, really, really nice image editor application. Okay, so next thing on the list, Callum, where can people find you?
You can find us and everything we do at imamax.com. We're on all the usual socials at imamax. I'm in the Slack room. I'm also on Twitter at @Callum. If you've got any questions, anything you need to know or would like to sort of get information from us, just reach out and someone's always happy to help.
Awesome. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, this weekend, migrating the BTN servers that we literally just got a few minutes ago, and we have to migrate until Tuesday. So I'll do that.
That's actually exciting.
It is exciting. It's gonna be easy. Like it's all prepared. Very easy. You can find me here on the Big Show. On the Mac Show every Friday, and on the Big Show every Thursday with Jeff. You can find everything I'm doing, all the social media links, and buy, if you want to buy me a coffee or something, you can find that at thepatrice.com. And my podcast is the Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to really interesting people about food and everything that goes with that. And I should add, tonight I'm on In Touch with iOS with David and with Jeff.
Awesome. All right, Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you'll find everything I do. Everything is linked from there one way or another. We do Mac Voices live Tuesday nights on YouTube, youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. That's 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, your time, wherever you are. We'd love to have you join us. And a little bit of shameless self-promotion here. Later today, as we are recording this, which means Friday, the first part of a Mac Voices live discussion that sort of crosses over what we were talking about with carrying your license. We started off talking about carrying your vaccination card, but spilled over into carrying your ID in a digital format. And I think you'll find it interesting because the discussions ranged from where this is now and where it could go. And so, and not everybody agreed on it. There's a big surprise. So it's good listening. And of course, I'm on the socials as at Chuck Joyner. Thanks, Jeff. Good job.
Awesome. All right. And Dave, where can people find you?
Find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. As Patrice mentioned, Jeff and Patrice are coming on the show. We're going to be actually recording a few hours after we recorded this show. So I'm looking forward to that. You'll also find me on the Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights. As Chuck mentioned, we have a great time on there. My YouTube channel at youtube.com/DaveG65. That's where all contents will be out, is out there. And on Twitter, DaveG65. Thanks, Jeff, and great job.
Awesome. Okay. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I am Jay Gamut, both places. On YouTube, I am youtube.com/JGamut. And I was hoping to have a new video out yesterday, but my schedule went kind of wonky. And so I have a new video that will go out today. And what I need right now is just to finish the graphics in Affinity Photo. And then I can get that published. Tuesdays, Mac Voices Live. And Thursdays, The Big Show. Fridays, The Mac Show. Later on today, In Touch with iOS. And I get around. Google me. You can find me. I'm easy to find. Ewan, we miss you. We're looking forward to when you can come back and join us again. And in the meantime, I will do my best to be a worthy interim host. And no one's thrown bricks at me yet, so I'm going to take that as a good sign. Thank you to all of you for being such an amazing panel and doing your part to try and make me look good. So thank you for that. And all of you that are tuning in live, thank you for being here. Every one of you rocks. I enjoy the discussion, even when you take the piss with me or someone else on the panel. absolutely love it. I know that's how you're saying that you love me. So that's sweet. I love all of you too. Thank you to everyone that tunes in and listens later. All of you absolutely rock. Thank you to TSO hosts for being here for us. Thank you, Iman Max, for being here as well and sponsoring us. Also, don't forget to go and throw just a little bit of money at the Daily News Show so that we can keep that running past September. And everyone have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you again next week. And we did it. Great.